Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, so far, 2020 has been a year of turmoil, to put it mildly, and even a year of terror for some. And so, with that in mind, you have a verse you want to share as an encouragement to anyone who is experiencing anxiety in these unsettling times.
Yeah, Scott, it's Psalm 94, verse 19, which says, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul." This verse provides a wonderful example of what to do when we are anxious. It directs our focus to the promises of God instead of the troubling circumstances around us.
And if I could point out an even more basic idea that I take from what the verse says, I hear the words my and thy, which underscores the fact that I have a choice about who to focus on in a difficult time, me or the Lord.
Well, that's an excellent observation, Scott. But let's be honest with ourselves here. Immediately, focusing on the Lord is not something we naturally tend to do or consistently do, especially when the problems start piling up. What so often happens is we react by engaging in the what-if game, which leads to all manner of undesirable scenarios. So I appreciate how the psalmist expresses the idea of his anxious thoughts multiplying within him. It's a vivid picture of one unpleasant thought leading to two scary possibilities, and then those scary possibilities producing four or even more really bad situations we can imagine ourselves in. And very quickly, we're consumed with anxiety and insecurity. Now, we know it's not good to go down that road, but the reality is we do sometimes.
Or for some people who really struggle with this issue, most of the time.
That's true, Scott. But what should be encouraging to us all is, the psalmist acknowledges that there are times when he has anxious thoughts, even multiplied anxious thoughts. But he doesn't beat himself up about having those thoughts. Instead, he changes his mind and reflects on the promises, the consolations, as my version translates it, of the Lord. It's interesting that the Hebrew word there that's translated consolations in the New American Standard Bible,
and it's translated comforts in the King James Version.
Okay, well, whether the translation is consolations or comforts, the Hebrew word does not occur very often in the Old Testament, but it is the noun form of a very common verb, which basically means to have a change of mind. It can mean to be comforted or repentant, to regret, or even relent. So the idea behind the consolations of the Lord is that they produce a change of mind, even of heart. And what a change is described in Psalm 94:19, from anxiety to delight. Let's hear the verse again, Scott.
Sure, I'll be glad to read it. "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul." That truly is a practical example of what to do when we're troubled, and appropriate for times like we're living in today.
Yep.
But Dr. Scripture, I have to ask, how does this verse relate to creation? Our program is Scripture on Creation.
Well, Scott, it's appropriate that you should ask. We've been doing the Prayers to the Creator series for many months now.
Yep.
Do you remember what our last passage in that series was?
It was Psalm 93, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see a connection coming. The verse we've been discussing is verse 19 of Psalm 94. So is Psalm 94 the next in our series, Prayers to the Creator?
Indeed it is. And as we read, Psalm 94:19 is addressed to God. The psalmist says, "Thy consolations delight my soul."
Making it a prayer for our purposes.
Correct. And we're also going to find a clear reference to God as the Creator in the psalm. So, before we even consider the overall context of this prayer, let's read where God is referred to as the Creator. It's in verse 9, which says, "He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Those are two obvious references to God being the one who created our ears and eyes.
Okay, Dr. Scripture, I have to ask. The metaphor of planting the ear is obviously alluding to God creating the ears on our head.
Mm-hmm.
But is it also a play on words in Hebrew, as it would be in English, to the idea of planting corn, which yields an ear of corn?
Well, Scott, that's a cool thought. But although Hebrew has a word for the seeds that grow at the end of a stalk of grain or corn, as we use the words an ear of corn or a head of wheat, the Hebrew words for ears of grain and the ears on our head are different.
Okay.
So, although that line, "He who planted the ear, does he not hear?" is a play on words in English, it didn't have that double reference to an ear of corn and a human ear in Hebrew. But I'm glad you brought that question up, because it is an excellent example of how the meaning of Scripture could get distorted. This one being harmless enough. However, sometimes distortions can lead to some serious errors in interpretation. What we always need to keep in mind as we attempt to determine the meaning of God's word is Scripture means what the original author meant.
That's the originalist view of biblical interpretation.
Precisely. So, getting back to Psalm 94, we've read verse 9 and 19, which have demonstrated that this psalm fits our criteria for being a prayer to the Creator. However, we've not yet considered anything related to the context of this prayer. So, let's do that now. Scott, let's read verses 1 through 11.
Okay, Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth.
Rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud.
How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult?
They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly, all who do wickedness vaunt themselves.
They crush thy people, O Lord, and afflict thy heritage.
They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the orphans.
And they have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed.
Pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones?
He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see?
He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge.
The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath.
We'll stop there. So, Scott, how would you summarize what this prayer is about?
It's a plea for God to judge the wicked. It's called an imprecatory psalm.
Very good. And there's a number of them in the book of Psalms, many of them written by David. Now, we don't know the author of Psalm 94, but what we do know is the author is distressed by the cruelty and arrogance of the wicked. And his prayer is that the Lord take revenge on them for all the evil they have perpetrated on the helpless and innocent, as well as the Lord's people, in this case, the people of Israel. Now, we also cannot be sure who in particular these wicked are. However, for the most part, it doesn't matter. The world has never had a shortage of those who oppress the helpless and righteous. So, the longing of the psalmist for justice to be carried out is shared by the oppressed of all generations. You know, right now, we are witnessing that desire as people, not even just in the United States, but all over the world, are demonstrating against police brutality as a result of the killing of George Floyd. People want justice. People want revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the consequential problems is when man applies his standard of justice and tries to exact revenge, it often becomes as unjust as the acts that prompted the unrest. And so rioting and looting ensues, and even more helpless and innocent people are ravaged. It becomes a vicious cycle, spiraling out of control. And what makes it even worse is those who engage in the violence taunt the powerless to do something about it and boast that God doesn't care. After all, they say, he's not doing anything about it. It's at this point that the psalmist has a warning for the senseless, stupid, wicked. Let's read verses 7 through 9 again.
And they have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed.
Pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones?
He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see?
The point made is, if the Lord is wise and powerful enough to create the eye, one of the most magnificent structures in all the universe, only a senseless, stupid person would suppose that that same creator could not see himself. But wait, what if they have become convinced that the Lord didn't create the ears or the eyes? What if everything is the result of blind chance? Well, then there is no need to be concerned with an all-powerful judge who will recompense the wicked for their deeds. They espouse the principle, survival of the fittest, and might makes right. Well, that's certainly the mindset of a large portion of the world today, but there's something very interesting about truth. Truth is not determined by the majority. It is what it is. In fact, this is how Paul puts it, "Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar." So despite the assertions of those who deny the Creator, He does know what they, in fact, what we all do, and will, in fact, recompense every person according to their deeds.
Dr. Scripture, I recall another passage of Scripture that talks about people claiming that God doesn't notice what they're doing. It's in Isaiah 40.
That's right. It's Isaiah 40, verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" And do you know what Isaiah's answer to that claim is? Read the next verse, Scott.
Okay, Isaiah 40, 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable."
And if we go back to the verse just before Isaiah 40, 27, it says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." So there, in Isaiah 40, just as in Psalm 94, the answer to those who would be so foolish as to think that they can get away with evil because God doesn't notice is, He is the creator of the ear and the eye, the stars and the ends of the earth. And on top of that, as an illustration of His attention to detail, He knows all the stars by name. So He knows exactly what the wicked are doing and what they've done. And He has promised that He will repay every deed done. These are Jesus' own words in Matthew 16, 27. "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds." So, getting back to the psalm we began the program with, Psalm 94, a prayer to the Creator, verse 19 says, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul." What is the consolation we can find in the Lord's judgment? Well, first, He knows everything that is happening. Second, He will judge completely and righteously. And third, when we're anxious and weary, if we focus on the Lord instead of our problems, the end of Isaiah 40 encourages us with these words, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." And again in Psalm 94, verse 18 and 19, it says, "If I should say, my foot has slipped, thy loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul." And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.